We are up to, say that again, Samachay obeys the last line. Okay, so the Gemara is saying here. So it seems from Rabbi Akiva that he says you got to sell the hair on your head and make sure you pay the ksuv of your wife. It seems that ain misadjin lebachayv. From here, it seems that we don't assist the bachayv, leave him some money so that he can have clothing and take care of food and all that. No, that's not what it means at all. Really, just like by Erchin, somebody promises money, by Simigdash, we're Mesade, we organize, if he has no money that he can, you know, leave him something to live on. Same thing, every Chayv, you owe somebody money on a loan, and you can't pay it, we make you pay, you know, you pay something, and we make sure we leave you enough. We're some of them on our top line. But you're a Mekadin Shtar Ksuva. By Erchin, if you, let's say, you go bankrupt, you clear bankrupt, that's it. Even if tomorrow you win the lottery, you make $1 million, you don't have to pay a penny. When it comes to a loan, there's no such law as bankruptcy in Jewish law. So if you can't afford to pay today, we'll never rip up the loan. The loan is still outstanding. And in 40 years from now, if you make money, you pay that loan back. No interest, obviously, but you pay that loan back.
Star, if you'll be a mensch, you'll pay it anyway. I mean,
but you're a chayiv. Nobody can chayiv. You have chayiv.
It says, loy v'rosh v'loy yishalim. You do the right thing.
Yeah, but if you don't have money, you're out of money. So by Erchin, we say, if you declare bankrupt, you're bankrupt. Finished. But it comes to loans, there's no thing as bankruptcy. So ain mikadin shtak, so we don't rip it up.
How takes you 5 years to
get
3 years
now? The faster he is? I thought 7 years.
It's also included in the debts.
If you and after
a certain figure allowed to earn, the rest has to go to 3 years. Okay. Mishnah. We're still talking about different psachim, different avenues to unravel the nether. And we say to him, had you realized this and this, would you have done it? So what happens if a person made a nether who will not eat meat for a whole year? So we tell him, did you realize that the Yom Tov is included in the year and Shabbos, and then the mitzvah to eat meat? But he's showing in the olden days, in the beginning, how you omrin, they would say as follows. Okay, we told him, did you realize Shabbos and Yom Tov? Oh, I didn't realize Shabbos and Yom Tov. So then they would say, so your neder still remains intact for during the week, but Shabbos and Yom Tov, your neder is mutter. But then they realize it doesn't work that way. Neder shehuta miktsasa huta kulei. Since he made a neder, one neder, entire year I'm not going to eat flesh. If you undo part of that neder, there's nothing left. So then he not only can he eat Shabbos, he can also eat during the week. Even though you don't have a Pesach for the week, your Pesach is only limited to weekends, Shabbos and Yom Tov. But once you broke part of the neder, there's no neder anymore. And we had this whole discussion before Machlekes Hillel and Shammai. If a guy made a neder that he's not going to give anybody meat in the sunny real or wine in the sunny real, his father was there, his brother was there. How we learned that. Kate, for example. The Gemara there brings a pasuk, all the shame here bring a svara. The svara here bring is you made a neder, and now the neder was, it wasn't two nedarim, one neder for the weekdays, one neder for Shabbos. You made a neder, no meat for the year. Once part of it is not, it cannot be fulfilled, there's no neder anymore. Vachleg b'Shabbos Hillel as well. And not everyone agrees about Kiva. B'Shabbos agrees, B'Shimon agrees. Kate said, we'll see you in a minute. Omar, he said, Koinim she'eini nen. We had a machlezing gemar, Amoroyim had to learn as well. I don't want to give any hanot to any of you. Hutter echad, man. If one of them became mutter, hutter kulni, they all mutter. And once one of them became mutter, they all became mutter. If he says, I will not give hanot, and he spells out each person. He doesn't say kulchem. He spells out each person to Reuven, to Shimon. Now the Gemara learned that he made each one depend on the first. Reuven and also Shimon and also Levi. So this is all like a continuation. Hutir harishin hutir kulam. For Reuven, then you realize Reuven is your father. And he becomes mutter, then everyone becomes mutter. Hutir ha'achin ha'achin hutir kulam ha'surim. If the last one becomes mutter, since the rest were not dependent on the last one, so the last one becomes mutter, the rest remain asur. The way you said it. No. The way you said it. Reuven is. I don't want Reuven to have anything from me. And I also don't want Shimon. And I also don't want Levi. And
each one
exactly. So take away the first the way I said it. Otherwise, I would have made five different shvuos. Reuven, you can't have any enough of me. Shimon, you can't have any enough of me. Then five independent shvuos. The way I worded it, I made them all, linked them all together. Huter emtzai, in some cases they don't have it. If the middle person, for example, is one of mutter, hey menu lamata mutter, hey menu lamay loser. That and further is mutter, that and before is asa. Says the Mishavaiter, sha'ani nen elezek carbon elezek carbon. Says the Mishnah further, sha'ani nen elezek carbon elezek carbon, tzich and pesach al ech vechet. If you say that people I don't want you to have any anna, and if I do, this person I'll bring a carbon. For this person I'll bring a carbon. Again, since you made each one, you said lazek carbon, each one is independent from the next guy. You need a heter for each person. Because each one is different. Each one is like a separate neder. So you can't say if I'm on his mutter, they all become mutter. Because here you made a neder for each one. Carbon lazek. If you would have said lazek, vil lazek, vil lazek, it's one being neder. I said lazek carbon. Lazek carbon is two different darim. What about koinim yayin shani toyim? A new mission about a new part of the Mishnah. Back to what we were talking about before about if you know it turns out to be things a little bit different. Koinim yayin shani toyim. I'm not going to drink the wine. Shahayayin ra lemaayin because the wine is bad for the stomach. Omro they told him. The whole thing is based on error. Old wine, on the contrary, is very good for your digestion. So then what happened? When you made the Issa, you said all wine is forbidden. You didn't make a distinction, new wine and old wine. Then they come along and say, hey, listen, part of the wines that you forbade, you know, old wine is wrong because old wine is actually very healthy. Then we say, old wine is not permitted because it was based on a mistake. And then once, all wine becomes mutter. Because again, part of the neder became mutter, the entire neder becomes mutter. Or Rabbi Kiva. Koinim botzel she'ani toyim. I asked the onion that I taste. Shabotzel ralele because the onions are bad for your heart. Omrulai halay kufri. The onions come from the city of Kufri. Yafel lev is good for your heart. Huter be kufri. Then you're allowed to eat kufri onions because you said that because they're bad. This wasn't bad. The loy be kufri. All onions.
Depends on the
tonight
that he makes.
He didn't make it tonight. He gave her time. Yeah. And he has to word it. If he didn't tell us the reason why, he just said, I'm not eating any onions. But then that wouldn't work. So you said, I'm not eating any onions because they're bad for you. Okay? Says the Mishavaiter, he teetered a meir b'chol ha-betzolim. And a meir, ma'isa ha'id was a ma'isa, not only just theory, but it's a ma'isa, a meir was matir, all onions.
So the meir's maskim to Rabbi Kibbe.
Yeah. Says the Gemara, huter ach, you said in the Mishnah, if the last guy turned out to be was all right, ha'achra muter, the last guy is muter v'kul and asurin, and all the rest are osa. Man tani. Now the question is not on this part. The question is later on. You say lazek carbon. You said lazek carbon, vilazek carbon. You said you need a pesach for each single person. It seems if you wouldn't have said lazek carbon, you just said lazek. It makes no difference. You said loze. You said loze vib with an and, a conjunctive and, or you didn't use a conjunctive and. It's always considered one long neder. The only time we say it's different to dadim is you said loze carbon, each one's a separate neder. But if you would have just linked the names, you would have said, even you didn't use the word and, you just said Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, it's all one neder. Who holds that? Yeah. Mantana, who's the one who holds that? Omar, he says, the Rabbanan would hold, if you didn't use the conjunctive and, you just said Reuben, Shimon, then each one is separate from the next. Rab Shimon holds that even if you did not use the word and, it's still considered one long neder. The story is of that he was said to someone, they said to him, you owe money to this guy. He swore, and he swore that he doesn't owe anybody. Then if he's made it that he swore false, then you have to pay each one back, and then you have to bring a carbon and all that. If you were five people came to him and demanded at the same time, and he said, I owe none of you guys. I made a shvur, I owe none of you guys. And then I was made it. Do you have to pay five different carbonas, or is it like one shvur and one carbon? So Rab Shimon says it's considered one carbon unless he makes distinctly, even if he would have said, Reuven, I owe you nothing, Shimon, I owe you nothing, Levi, I owe you nothing, says Rab Shimon, it's one shvur. The Rabbanan says it's five shvurs because you mention each name separately. If you don't each name separately, even though you use one word, I make a shvur, and then you say, Reuven, I owe you no money, Shimon, I owe you no money, according to Rabbanan, it's five shvurs, and you got to pay five times. However, Rab Shimon says, no. Add until you say to each one a separate shvur, it's considered one big shvur. So they've according to Rab Shimon, if you wouldn't have said and, even without the and, just mentioning all the names in one shvur, that's considered one shvur. You literally have to make a separate shvur for each person. Why do you have to say that they told him? He said, I won't drink wine because it's bad for you. So they told him, oh, but the wine, old wine is actually good for you. Why do you have to say it's good for you? Just say it's not bad for you. That's good. That would be ready enough to mevatel the neder. Freddie Gemara, tape the Indra. Why do you have to say it's yof, it's good for me? Say it's not bad. I would have been right. It's like an ant. First of all, it's not bad for you. Second of all, you're wrong because it's not good for you. Same question. I'm not sure why the Gemara asked the question again, and the same Rabbi Abba answered, so I'm not sure what happened here. Once we answered one, we answered already. They start giving an additional reason. Don't know. Mishnah. Poischin la'odam b'chavod atzmai. We'd say before about Pesachim, we had an argument that he can use covered aviv imay. Or covered aviv imay, which he cannot use. But covered aviv imay, we had a machlek, because Abel Ezra Chachamim. So here the Mishnah says you could be pesach a person with his own covet and the dignity of his children. They said if you were to realize with this particular neder you're insulting your children, not all the darim would work. In the neder we'll talk about in a minute, you should realize that you're going to insult, you're putting a stain on your family, a blight on your family. Would you have done it? And it'll affect their shidduchim. Would you have done it? And he says no. Then we say it's a pesach. What's the story? Oymin lo, said to him, let's say he made a neder to his wife, he's divorcing his wife. And so on. And they said to him like this, Ilua Yisi Dei, if you would have known, Shalemacha tomorrow, Oymela, people say, Kach hi vesta shalpleini, this is this guy's habit. Megadish is noshav. He's a guy, he is unstable, he gets angry, right away, he's upset, he divorces his wife.
He's impetuous.
He's impetuous, okay? Exactly. Makes very rash decisions and acts upon them straight away. You know what's going to happen now? Not only is he going to have a bad name, but his daughter. Who's going to marry his daughter? They'll say, maybe he has his genes. And they'll say, well, they're the daughters of a divorcee. Why did the mother accept didn't fight it? Probably she knows something about the father or whatever it is. And so on and so forth. Why do you want to get involved with the family? He's rash, and maybe worse than that. And why do you want to get involved in this family? But Omar, and he says, Ilu Ayisi Yedea. And the man says, oy, oy, if I were to realize, Shekane, that's how the people in this city, that's how they think. So closed minded that they can't imagine anything, you know, that people weren't meant for each other, and right away they jump to conclusions. Lo Ayisi Noida, never made another. Hareze Mutter. It's a good Pesach. So you see right here that how people thought in those days. No different than a lot of places today. People jump to the conclusion, the worst possibilities. Right, koinim shani noisi es pleini. What about a guy says, I make an iser, I will marry, this is the mission, I will not marry this girl, kula, this ugly girl. Now he's using it as a description, he's not saying that's the reason. He didn't say, I'm not marrying her because she's ugly. And then it turned out to be that she's not ugly. He's saying, I'm not marrying this ugly girl. Or Bahareino, turned out she was actually a pretty girl. Shchoida, I don't marry this black girl. Bahare Levona, she's actually white. Tzor, I don't marry this midget. Bahare Arucha, she's actually tall. Mutaba, she's permitted. Now, why is he permitted? Why is he permitted? Not because of Noilid that things changed. Loi Mipneishi, he could have an asana. Not because she was ugly and she became pretty. Black became white. We had this yesterday. The whole thing was based on a mistake. But if it would not have been, if they would have changed, it wouldn't work. Why wouldn't it work? Because it'd be a real noilid, and he wouldn't. And you can't say toilet benida. He didn't say the reason why I am not marrying her is because she's ugly. Then it's like we said yesterday. It's like toilet benida. It's like you're making a tanai, and if it turns out to be that she changed, then it's all right. It's a description. A description of this girl. You know which girl? I'm not marrying this ugly girl. I'm not marrying this black girl. So it's not a tonight. He's just describing the girl. In his eyes, it's considered black. There's a story. Remember we heard yesterday that they're pushing people. They say push people to marry their nieces because it's a mitzvah. The more you bumps we had, it's a mitzvah to marry your niece. So they were pushing this guy to marry a niece. And he, Mishum Eifin, didn't want to because he said she was ugly. So what did they do? Rabbi Shmuel wanted the shidduch to go ahead. He took this girl in the house, and the yifua, he made her look pretty. He put on makeup. We'll see what he did. Actually, he won't be so happy. But he made her look very pretty. And then they brought the chassan in, the uncle in, Amalei Rabbi Shmuel bni mizuna darta. You know this girl? This is the girl you said that you don't want to marry? I'm like, who's she? I never saw her before. Love. I like her. Because you thought you never saw her dressed up. So you thought, but now that you see how she's dressed up, she's all right. Now look at the Gemara says it. Very, very important mission to remember. Yeah. But you'll still see what he did. He was actually a dentist. We'll see in a minute. What happened? He was a girl that looked very, that was very poor and looked very ugly. The moment they dressed her nicely, suddenly she looked very like a queen, like a princess. So Rabbi Shmuel cried. Bami said, the Yiddish girls are the prettiest girls in the world. Sometimes they don't look that way. It's not their fault, it's their poverty that the situation caused them this way. So it's not fair. Like we had in the Gemara and Shabbos in the Mishnah, that all Israel girls are benois malachim. Ukeshemes Abishmal, he stood up and defended women, every Jewish woman. When he died, they created a lamentation for him. They made a kinna for him. Benois Yisrael Abishmal, they used to say, Bechina, we cry. They cried for him. Because he is the a rabbi who stood up for women. He championed their cause. Says that the girls cried for Shaul. B'nois Yisrael, El Shaul, B'chana, they cried for him because he stood up for girls. And he gave them nice clothing, all that. Says the Gemara, L'cheide Maise Lister. You bring a Maise, completely contradicts what you're trying to say. First you said that if you made a neder that she's ugly and turned out to be she's pretty, the whole neder was based on a mistake. But if she was taka ugly and then you did something to make it pretty, that's called nailid and it won't work. Then you bring a story to Rabbi Shmuel, an ugly girl, he made her look pretty afterwards and suddenly there's no nether. So you could change it around. What's going on here? The Gemara Chassidim asks a few words are missing. Rabbi Shmuel, I feel the ku'ud of an asin. No. He argues. He says, even when she was ugly, Taka was ugly, and became pretty. I hold that's not called Noilid. I hold like Rabbi Leza that the Noilid, such a Noilid, is Mefej Mutin. And Maise Be'echot Shenodil Basachoyse. A guy made Ned, I'll never marry my niece. Be'ech Nisor Lebeit Bishmol V'yivu, he made look pretty, and then he married. So forget Bishmol argues in the Mishnah, he says that there's not like Rabbi Leza, that you Poseach with Noilid as well. Says the Gemara, how did he make her look pretty? I'm not sure what the most question is. Why can't we just say he put on nice clothes and he put on some makeup? But the Gemara has another idea. I'm not sure you're going to agree. Tana, we learned, Shen Teicheves Haisala, she had a false tooth made out of silver. V'asa Bishmol Shen Shazav Mishalai, took out his golden tooth and gave it to her. She had a golden tooth. And I remember you see all these people with the Russians that tried the babushka, yeah. Somehow or another, gold better than silver. The Yaakovim doesn't understand this whole Gemara. So he says the pshat in the Gemara is he gave her an ivory tooth that looked like the real thing, but it cost a fortune like gold. The Yaakovim is very progressive. So in other words, it can be. And what's wrong with silver teeth? Those are pretty expensive. So silver teeth are ugly and gold teeth are pretty. Which one, silver or gold?
Gold.
Yeah. Now everything's titanium or something.
But today the fashion standard is looking all normal.
Because Baruch Hashem society can afford it. And they made it cheaper, more economical. Okay, so that's what happened. So what he did, but basically he went and spent money on her to make her look pretty.
The tooth dropped out and he gave her a new one. It's not like the Gemara that says they changed the silver for gold.
Yeah, but the Ran obviously seems like he had different gifts here. Or it fell out and you bought another one. Yeah, but the Parshat Pshat is
filled in the empty space that was in her mouth.
Yeah. The way that the Moshe learned, she had a normal tooth and it fell out and he put a gold one in his place. Why is that nice? Why is that nice? Having a gold tooth in your mouth is nice. Sorry?
For us, we don't look at
that. So I'm saying, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that's not pshat. But I told what he said. Kishachir Rabbi Shmuel, when he passed away, in other words, he spent money on making sure Yiddish girls look pretty. So when he passed away, Pasach Lehu Savdana, Hachi. So the person who was making a hesped said the following, B'nois Yisrael Abishmol Bechina, that the Jewish girls all cried Abishmol, which came from the Pasach Vashalom Melech. When he passed away, all the girls cried. Abishchen, this is the Pasach Vashal, that he gave them clothing. Same thing here, he made sure that they all looked pretty. So it's just interesting how the Gemara Rabbi Shmuel says that it's an inyan to make Yiddish women look pretty, not to make them look ugly. This is the Rebbe's Taina about shaving a woman's head. The Torah says that that's how you make a Yifas Torah look ugly, by shaving the head. And the inyan is to make a Yiddish woman look pretty, not ugly. Chas v'shalom. And this is what this Gemara is saying right here. Ahuda Malalvisu, a guy said to his wife, Koinim. A guy says to his wife, now this is interesting Gemara here. Koinim, I'm going to ask that you should have any benefit from me. She'i at nehenesli, you cannot have any benefit from me until you do for me the following. Ad she'taimi tavshilich, until you go ahead and I can't eat your food. Take your food and give it to taste. Let Rabbi Huda or Rabbi Shiva Yehuda. Let me see what outsiders, these two chief rabbis, what they think of your food. And what I have to put up with. So Rabbi Yehuda, when he heard what happened, he said, look, I'm not really interested in food. Shalom Bayis, if I can bring peace, try me, ate the food. So she can say, remember, he made a nether. You can't have any pleasure with me until you feed them both. So he was told. When it comes to a man who accuses his wife of being a Satan, that the Abishah says, put my name in the water, erase my name, because I want to make sure there's peace between the husband and wife. My name that was written in Kedusha, should be erased in this cursed water, is besafik, and there's only a safik. We don't even know if she did anything wrong or not. Surely I shouldn't eat a piece of food just to bring shalom bayis. Of course I will. Rab Shimon like time, he refused to eat. Amri said, Yamusu kol b'nei almana. Let the whole family die out. Let her turn into an almana. No, the husband should die. And then her children will die as well. But al yozo shimon kaime. I'm not going to budge. Why not? No, because because in the Dorim we live before is an Aveira. And the Dorim, there's an option. There's a way out. Let this husband go to a Rav and be Mataneder. So I don't want them in a habit of just start making the Dorim and they get away with it and forcing other people to behave and to change their pattern to suit his Meshagasin. Go to a Rav. And he cursed him in a way that this guy isn't smart and he respected Rav Shimon, otherwise he wouldn't have sent his wife there. He better go to a Rav and be Mataned. So he refused to budge. That's how the Mashal is. Rav Shimon time of the Kura. Rav Shimon is one of Darsha's time of the Kura. Over here, he felt that the Rabbanim have to stand up and make
this
a principle.
Like
exactly. But this is for the community. You have to sometimes take a stand, otherwise things will get out of hand. That's Rav Shimon's philosophy. Rabbi Yehuda looked at the individual case.
What about the fact that Yehuda was following the Abishah
passage? Does what?
No, the logic over here is flawed by the main
factors
of Yehuda.
Would
you? For the Abishah, from the Seuter.
Abishah
could have said also.
Here it already happened. The husband already warned, it's too late now. What, he cannot take her back.
This came out of the neighbor.
Yeah, and this is like man-made, and you can still fix it up. That there's nothing else you can do. There's nothing to do. The man is not allowed to live with his wife until this is sorted out one way or another. Either she's moided that she's tummy, or she goes and drinks the water. And furthermore, most are not good as word void. I don't mean that. I don't want people to get into the habit of making a daughter. Okay, another story. Yahoo, the guy says his wife, koinim shiat nasli. A guy made a nether. You can no longer live in my house or have any pleasure for me. You need to spit in Rav Shimon Gamliel's, in front of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who was the Nasi. I don't know, these husbands in those days. In other words, Osses she went, the Rokik Alavushe. She was scared.
Did he want to hurt Rav Shimon?
Good question. Well, he was thought for sure she won't do it, and therefore, goodbye. But I guess... No, 7 years ago. 7.5 years ago. The Rokka Lavusha. She went ahead and she spat on his clothing. Not on him, on his clothing. The question is, was she yates with that or not? How can that work? The whole idea was he wanted to embarrass Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. If he did, she didn't spit right in front of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's face, it's garnished. If you spit on the clothing of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that's also a pretty big humiliation. For Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, guy has no derechatz. If you remember Gemara Shabbos, mani, what's called the clothing of a tamchachol, mani nech machbusa. The clothes are make him covered. So if you're spitting on the clothes, you're actually insulting the Rav. Talking about husbands and wives making the dodi, mahudam levisu, koin may make a nether shiat and you can't have me, achetiri mumya for shabach. Let Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosi, I want you to go to Shmuel ben Yosi, let him find one. You're so many flaws, I want him to find one good thing about you. One good thing about you, because I can't find anything about you good.
It's a nice loving husband.
So why did he marry in the first place, basically? Anyway. Oh.
That must have run out.
She went to Shmuel Reisi and he started to look. Shmuel Reisi, the Gemara says, Baba Basra will have that Talmud Chacham is not a good judge when it comes to women, how pretty they are. He has to take an Amoris with him when he goes out on a date so that the Amoris can tell him whether she looked pretty or not. So the woman came to Shmuel Reisi, he had no idea. He turned to his Talmidim. He says, guys, Shmuel Reisi, no, would you think that her head maybe is pretty? Omrele is galgal, round, East European face. Shema Sidon, maybe she has nice hair. It's so thick like flax.
How do they know?
Good question, I don't know. Maybe she showed them and showed them some of the women there or something privately, and they came and told the husbands, and the husband told Rabbi Shmuel. Shema Einer, no, maybe she has pretty eyes. Truta saying, they're either round or they're always teary. Shema's Nena, maybe she has nice ears. Kfula saying, they're large and overhanging. Shema Chaitemus, no, maybe she has a nice nose. Blumu is all closed up. Shema Sifsonella, maybe she has nice lips. Other saying, she used so much Botox, they're so thick, they're not very nice. Shema Tzavorono, maybe she has a nice neck. What are those, the Africans there, that they wear these rings around the neck to stretch the necks out? No, Shokutu, the neck, the head sits right on the shoulders, and therefore there's no neck at all, you can't even see a neck. Shema Krisono, maybe she has a nice stomach, abdomen. Tzavuhu, she's so fat. Shema Raglenos, maybe she has nice legs. That's what the husband said. Find me one nice feature of my wife. How did he marry basically? Maybe she has nice legs. Rechovis Kishal Avza, she's fat like a kashka. Why a stuffed kashka? Shema Shmona, maybe she has a nice name. I forget about her personally or anatomy. Maybe she has a nice name. Her name is Dirt. So he says, oh, beautiful. Her name is the most appropriate name. She's Shmutzik, and that's her name. What a pretty name. She's filthy with mumin. The Sharyu, and that's how they got her out of the nether.
Because she has a pasadika name.
Go figure out what's going on in this story here. Anyway. Ahubar Bovel, there was a man who married a woman. The Gemara, the next story, is trying to tell you when a man marries a woman from another country, even if you speak the same language, you have to understand that the words don't mean the same thing. An American marries an Australian, you can say the same word, but they have different connotations. Or a British person marries an Australian, they have different connotations. And therefore, for Shalom Bayis, you better make sure you understand her kvetchen and her understanding what these words mean. And I want to bring an example. Ahu bar bavil the Sal Israel. And I just saw those spoke Aramaic. We know that Talmud Yerushalmi has more Aramaic and a more difficult Aramaic than Talmud Bavli. So even though they use the same Aramaic words, they mean different things. Nostavit, he married a woman. So a guy from Bavel went to Israel, married an Israeli woman. Amla, one day he said to her, Bishili, why don't you cook for me today talfi? Cook for me two talfi. Talfi, according to some of the Shani, means two legs of an animal for supper. Others say it means two beans. But in Bavel, when you say two, you don't mean two. What are you going to do with two beans? It means don't cook me a whole big stack. Cook me just enough for one meal. In Israel, talfi means beans, and today means two, literally. They never heard that expression before. So for supper, he cooked him two beans. That was the whole supper. Rotichle, he was fuming. He was starved. All he had was two beans for dinner. Lamacha, the next day, Amalei said to counteract what he did yesterday, he said, Bishili griva, cook for me a whole pile. Now, in Bavel, griva means a full meal, but not so, don't be so stingy, a full meal. But at Yisrael, griva means like asah, means enough for an army. Okay. Bishili griva. The husband told her to cook a griva, she cooked a griva. He got sick and tired. Amalei, he said to her, Zili Isili, go bring me tre butzini. Bring me two butzini, which is two melons. He said, he gave up with the beans, give me two melons. The problem is that in Bavel, butzina is melons, but in Eretz Yisrael, butzina means candles. candlesticks. No, others she went, but I said to the shragi for supper. She brought him two candles, didn't make any dinner. So it was a candlelit dinner with no food. Amal, he got sick and tired. He said, Tavri Ziligo, Tavri Yosin, go take these two candlesticks and break them al reisha de Baba, on the head of Baba. Now, Baba means the door. No, he got so angry. Take these candlesticks and just smack it. You know, probably the chosn gave the kala two candlesticks, like the meaning of Olam is. So she brought that to the table. He got so angry, he said, break the candlesticks against the door. There was a big tanna called Baba Ben Buta. She thought he was saying, go smash the candlesticks on the head of Baba Ben Buta. Have a Yossi Baba Buta Baba. Baba Buta sitting by the door. The car dying dinner and in the middle of a court case. Ozla, she went. The Tavid Yossi brought the two candlesticks on his head. Just imagine that. You're the chief rabbi and a woman comes in and takes the candlesticks
in the middle of
a dictator and breaks on your head. What would your reaction be? You wouldn't be smiling, that's for sure. Amallah, he turned around to her very, you know, very congenially and said, Ma hadein davarta, what is it you did? Amrullah, she said, Kach tzivoni baili. My husband told me you gotta listen to your husband. That's how it is. Amr, he said, At asisa tzayim bailech, you did a mitzvah. Eze ishik seir, trader, asisa tzayim bailech. You did what your husband wanted. Hamakam, you should be rewarded for this. Yoitzim imchoshne bonim ke bonim bebutta. You'll have two children like me. We don't know who they were. Doesn't say. Maybe he says Nashkol. Some medrash there. Abba Buddha is the one who saved the Klal Yisroel. It was Smicha. It wasn't Stam. The Gemara in Barbasa says that he saved.
With the debate, wasn't he with a broken back?
No. Abba Buddha is the one that who just killed every rabbi out there except the, and blinded him. He needed one vice.
I thought it was someone else who ran between a rock and ran out. That wasn't him.